Professor Klebig had unexpectedly to be out of town today, so you don't need to fear that this first semester has been so harsh on him. Our text this morning is recorded in the first epistle of Peter in the fifth chapter, and we will read the verse before the text as it's printed in the bulletin and two verses after that. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is our text. Fellow redeemed, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. St. Peter begins the last chapter of his letter. The elders who are among you, I exhort. And by this he addresses not just the old gray hairs, but especially the shepherds, the pastors of the Christians. But then, after identifying himself as one of the elders, he turns to another part of his audience and says, likewise, you younger people. And he exhorts them to be submissive to their elders. We might be tempted to stop there and let it sink in, but Peter hurries us on and quickly shifts gears and says, in fact, all of you, elders and younger folks, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. And he echoes the words of St. Paul, submit to one another. And then comes this string of imperatives. Humble yourselves. Be sober. Be vigilant. However, those imperatives need some context, which is, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that is the heart of it. That takes us to the theme of this third week in Lent, where we take our cue from the gospel lesson about Jesus casting out demons, where one casts out the unclean spirits, but who then return with that many more unclean spirits. And so Jesus says, the last state of that man is worse than the first. And we all know what that means. Certainly we've experienced it when we think that we've purged ourselves of a bad habit and are proud of our good work, but then find that it is quickly replaced by even more bad habits. The imperatives that accompany this context: humble yourselves, be sober, be vigilant. Now, those sound like things that we might possibly be able to manage, but after a little thought, something like New Year's resolutions. I doubt that anyone ever has really made himself humble. None except our Lord himself, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death. even the death of the cross. For the child of God, this humbling comes under the mighty hand of God, the one who does not cause suffering and temptation, but who permits it to come to us in order to strengthen us. This humility is connected to this call to be sober and vigilant. Be clear-headed, not in like a drunken stupor. Be aware of your surroundings. No texting while you're on this road. This sobriety and watchfulness is necessary because we live in the realm in which Satan, the father of evil, has great power. In St. John's Revelation, the devil is pictured as being chained up, but that doesn't mean that he's harmless. It evokes the analogy of a ferocious, mad dog chained to a tree with a 20-foot chain. And so long as you do not enter the radius of that 20 feet, the dog can't harm you. But we then picture one who is not alert, walking blissfully along into that radius as we sing, "The old evil foe now means deadly woe." Resist him, Peter writes, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So what suffering is that? The believers, just like the world in which they live, suffer the assaults of the devil under the constant temptations of their own flesh and their weak will. Surely those assaults could suddenly be stopped by God. But instead, he lets these sufferings and assaults continue for a time in order to bring about that humble spirit which we heard Peter evoke. Peter shows us that humbling can only be the work of God himself. Only God searches our hearts. Only God knows when anyone needs to be humbled. God's word to his people, as it was to St. Paul, is, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness." In other words, the humility that St. Peter calls for is the knowledge that by myself I do not have the strength to resist the evil one and his persistent assaults, but that my strength comes alone from God himself. The purpose of this heavy hand is that the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That is the promise that he makes to his believers, a promise to which he is faithful. The summary of this lesson, then, is that God's people ought not be so surprised that they are daily assaulted by temptation and brought to a realization of their weakness. The devil and your flesh will assault you, and you will stumble in those temptations. But that is the call to humility and to renewed confidence in the grace of God your Savior. And it is there that under that suffering and affliction, the voice of the shepherd comes to you once again. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That rest lies in his gospel, in his gracious declaration to you that your sins are forgiven, and that he who has begun the good work in you will perfect it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him alone be the glory. Amen.